Soul4Radio.com.
Welcome to Soul Sister Enterprise. We have a special for you today, and it is Susie's first show that she ever did here on Soul Sister Enterprise. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you in 1 hour with Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Maria DiGiovanni, and we have a special guest today here on Soul Sister Friday. We have jumped the gun and just decided to go ahead and stop all that we were doing this weekend just so we could have you on our show, Susie. And our special guest today is Susie Shengizar Ortiz. Yes? Did I pronounce it right, Susie?
Very good.
Okay.
Bravo.
And for our audience, I just want everybody to know that I met this beautiful lady actually over a year ago. It was October, if I'm not mistaken, October of last year, 2011. It was in L.A. at the Marriott, J.W. Marriott, and for a Safe Passage event. And that was the first time that we had the opportunity to talk. And I just want our listeners to really have the opportunity to get to know who you are. And so I would like for you to just share, first of all, why you were in LA that day and why it is you think that God has us here tonight to go ahead and share about who you are and what he has for you.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, Maria, and Rebecca, and Trish Steele, and everyone that was part of Safe Passage. And for me, it was just a passion in my heart to see other people standing against domestic violence. And so meeting everyone on the same page in life was just tremendous because I had been on this journey alone for so long, and teaming up with everybody just made it come full circle.
Well, let's stop there. Let's start right there. Safe Passage is a organization, and I'll let you share a little bit more. Because I met Trish, gosh, years and years ago, 2000, I think it was. And so we met through my mentor. She mentored my mentor. And Trish is an amazing soul. So, and I know her on such a different level than what you know her on. But domestic violence has touched most of our lives. And Trish has really changed the face of abuse, literally. So I would like for you to share with our audience exactly what Safe Passage is, first of all, what you do with Safe Passage, why you were there that evening, and then we'll take it from there.
Actually, Safe Passage is Los Angeles' number one charity fighting against domestic violence. It's a DBA of Women Crowned in Glory, founded by Trish Steele in 2000. The website is www.safepassagelives.org. And Safe Passage compassionately transforms abused women and their children to a new and better life, providing hope, opportunity, and empowerment. That's their mission statement. But most of all, Safe Passage reaches out to women who are out of the relationship and they find themselves unable to smile because maybe their teeth have been knocked out and they need to get a job because they're on welfare, they have children to raise, or whatever their story is, it's impossible for people to fathom how they could walk in to a job and smile and say, here I am, hire me, and not have their teeth. So Trish went about this restoration with women taking her own story of having her forehead slashed, having a doctor stitch her up, and not charge her. So she paid it forward by being in Hollywood because she was a beauty queen and a makeup artist with the studios. She went about gathering those resources that would come together and help restore these women, whether it was a broken nose or their teeth or, you know, a body part that was disfigured from domestic violence. So when she was sharing her story with me, it just so hit home because years ago, 1980 to be exact, I had my jaw broke, my front teeth knocked out, my nose broke, my face disfigured, and there was nobody there like that for me. There were not programs. I was in the middle of Wyoming, a little 4,000 people town, and I just wanted to die. In fact, I wanted to commit suicide. It was by the grace of God that I was actually miraculously healed through a phone call. Someone I called came on the phone to pray for me and told me that God had told them to pray for my jaw. And that was enough that I needed to believe instantaneously for my healing. I never had the surgery. Of course, I had a dentist put my teeth in, but back then it cost me $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And my insurance, thank God, because I worked at a hospital at the time. But today I see these women and these doctors giving their time and talents to help these women, and it just was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so for me to see that, it was so empowering, and to see women teamed up helping was amazing to me. So I came on board right away, and using my talents and my background, because I was an entrepreneur, had a wedding business, had catered, had decorated, had all this talent, and so I came on board to be an event coordinator with Trish to help provide an ease financially for Safe Passage using the time and talent that I have to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also being a nurse and had gone through the advocate training back when I was in Iowa, 1994, I became involved with a domestic violence shelter, carried a pager, and that was simultaneous to me becoming an RN in the emergency room, and also being a paramedic, being on the front line, seeing domestic abuse happening, being part of the rape exams. It just so hit home with my past and this overwhelming compassion to help, and so I became an advocate and sat on the hotlines talking to women and held their hand through it all and could actually say I knew how they felt because I had been there and had no one there. Most of the times it was a police officer, a man. There was never a woman there to give me a hug after I had been raped or tell me something nice. Instead it was men, and they most of the times laughed, or they didn't take you serious, or you were so ashamed you couldn't repeat what had just happened. And so for mm-hmm. me it was about fighting back for these women so they didn't have to be humiliated, and to be like the guard, because I had built such an armor with God that I was going to be that guard for them and not let them suffer like I did.
I'm listening to you, and it's such an amazing passion that you have, and I can feel it brewing. And for our audience, so that our audience knows, Susie, I'm really glad that we're going to go ahead and move forward with your own show, because there's so many things that you have that the audience needs to hear. And these are tools because of the story that you just shared and the reasons why you made the choice to pay it forward. All this information not only is in your book, but I want you to be able to share with the audience the snippets that it's going to take for them to actually really want to go read what it is that you have to share with them. Not only that, but what I'm feeling is that you're going to make something interactive with them. And so I'm really excited about what it is that God is going to take you and where he's going to take you, because out of the ashes is coming good stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the book that you just wrote. And it's, how many books have you written now? This is your number four, correct?
This is number three. I'm working on number four.
Gotcha. Okay. I know. God bless you. Okay. And this is called Journey to My Father's Home?
Palace.
I would like for you to share a little bit about that, and also what you want the audience to know and get ready for your upcoming show, and what kind of things you think we're going to talk about on that show.
Well, I'd like to say that on the cover of my book, Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide, I give just a little lead-in that it's my memoir, a true uncut, off-the-grid story of emotional, physical, domestic, and sexual abuse. It's a survivor's story of ultimate betrayals and triumphs. I say, I don't quit and he doesn't win. That statement, I don't quit and he doesn't win, came from a school teacher I had when I was 17 and a half years old, pregnant with my second child. I had gotten married at age 16. I was taking night classes because back then you had to go to a teenage pregnant mother school. You were not allowed to be pregnant and married in high school. So I rode the little orange bus, went to my classes in the daytime, and then I was taking night classes because I wanted a career. And so I was taking the medical and dental receptionist class, and it was taught by a woman named Kathleen Bowers. Kathleen was an amazing teacher, and she was so fascinating. And I came to school one night with my daughter Tamara in my arms and my belly pregnant with my son Brandon. I had a handprint on my face, a bloody lip, and a black eye, and I was crying, makeup stains on my face. And I said to my teacher, I have to quit my class. And she said, really? And I said, yes, I have to quit. I don't have a babysitter, and I can't do this anymore. And she grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me and said, Susan, if you quit, he wins. This is not about him. This is about you and the rest of your life. If you quit now, you'll quit everything. And I realized in that instant, in the passion and the voice she had, she was reaching for me, and it was coming from God through her to keep me on track. So I, through my life, would hear her voice in my ear, because I did graduate, and I went on to be a nurse when I was 30 years old with five children, and I looked at my five children going through a divorce for the second time, and I just gave birth to number five, and I thought, I can do this. I can do this. And everybody was saying, no, you can't. How are you going to do with all these kids? And I said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I knew God was with me. I had a great faith in God, but I knew in spite of what everybody said, I could do it. And I was very intimidated because I had been out of school for years and I had been a mom. But being a mom and that maturity, I was ahead of some of the girls in my class because I had done it already. And my mom was a nurse. Her mom was a nurse. So I knew I could take that challenge. So during that time, her voice would play in my ears. So in writing this book over a year ago, I said to God, you know, I really want to thank this woman And I wish I knew where she was. And God said to me, Susie, find her. She's on the internet. And I just sat there going, I'm going to. So I look online and I look up Kathleen Bowers in Santa Cruz, California, where I grew up. And I find this name for a Lions Bank in Santa Cruz, and it had her name and it said age 77. And so I just pick up the phone and I call, and this woman answers, you know, Lions Bank, this is Kathleen. And I said, is this Kathleen Bowers that used to teach night school? She says, well, yes. And who are you? And I said, well, my name is Susie. I think I was one of your students. She goes, you think you are or you are? And I said, I am. And she says, I remember you. When she said that, it was like a hot flash went through my body, and I started to weep and cry. And I said, how could you remember me? And she said, Susan, anyone who met you would remember you. And I thought I was nothing back then because my self-esteem was on the ground because I had been beaten so much. Mm-hmm. But really, that little girl and that vibrant person still showed to everybody else it was me inside that was broken. And so when she told me that, she said, Susan, you were pregnant, you had a daughter, and I knew she was telling the truth. So I told her that I was writing about her in my book. And she said, please tell me you're not with that man. And I told her no, and I told her my story about my journey. And she sat and cried with me. She said that she was supposed to be in Switzerland that day, but her flight and plans changed, so she came to the office, and I happened to call. She said she needed to hear that she made a difference in someone's life. And it was a wow. joyous moment that God gave me years ago and brought it forward today for this time. And so during the writing of my book, I got to go through and forgive each and every person that had abused me and forgive myself. And then God had me find all my childhood friends and bring them back to the Lord. And so I just saw this as an amazing journey, somebody who was in my life. And I have wow. no bitterness towards the men I was married to. I actually now can pray for them that they can be healed and not hurt mm-hmm. someone else. Because it took me years to learn how to forgive. But God was patient with me, and he used all the ashes in my past to be a living testimony. And so I write about all the pain, all the abuse, all the secrets I had to keep inside that were tearing me apart as a child. But I willingly expose it. And it took a lot of guts to share details unashamedly revisited to set others free from broken love, domestic and sexual abuse, and life's ultimate betrayals, near-death experiences. I had to go through that to be who I am today so I could help remove the chains from other people that are binding them and keeping them locked down so they can't live. I had to expose every demon and every cause so that people could be free. And so in this book, I actually, at the end of it, file a lawsuit against the devil. And I speak it out, and I wrote it out. It's binding on heaven and on earth. And I now have a restraining order against the devil that he cannot touch me or my family. And I ask God for the maximum compensation ever awarded in the kingdom for the crimes committed against me, my family, 1,000 years back. And I show people how to go in and be delivered from this torment, because every single thing that was done to me, God gave me my life back. And if the devil had known back then, he would never have had anybody touch me, because today I'm kicking but
and that is why God has us together. I'm going to play a song and just a station identification. And this was a song that was played this past Sunday from our praise and worship. So, and it's going right along with what you're talking about. So I want you to stay in that Holy Spirit high mode. And I want you to just sit back and listen to this, my beautiful friend, because holy is the Lord.
joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Holy is the Lord God.
Take a break, but I don't think so because we're just kind of praising and worshiping. But I wanted to ask you, my beautiful friend Susie, what you come from an interesting background, and thus the name for this book, Journey to My Father's Palace. Can you share a little bit about your upbringing, how diverse your background is, and why you think you were brave enough to go ahead and write about the, all of this?
Wow. Yes, I did have an interesting background. My mother and father met in Seattle, Washington. My father was a merchant marine who traveled from Istanbul, Turkey. He docked his ship that he was on in Seattle, Washington, and my mom, being this buxom, beautiful blonde, I went down to the Caballero dance hall where all the women went to go dance with the sailors and meet men. And so she meets my father, and 3 days later they're married on the King County Courthouse steps in Seattle, Washington. She didn't know that her handsome, dark stranger was also a Muslim. So my mom, being a devout Catholic, married a Muslim. So I was born Muslim, but I did not want to be. And so I knew God early on as a child. I just knew God. I mean, I sang in different languages. I was just this, you know, gifted child that everybody would always say, you know, Susie's very gifted. She had, you know, all these things would come about. And I'll leave that for people to read in the book. But my journey started wanting to be a nun, and so I pursued that. I was this good little Catholic girl, and all the time I'm a good little Catholic girl, people in my life are trying to and molesting me, and so I have all this shame that's being brought on me. At the same time, I'm trying to pursue my journey with God. So I kept my little secrets inside of me, and I remember one time telling Sister Rosalie that I wanted to be a nun right now. I was 9 years old, because I didn't think I would make it. And back then, you didn't talk about your pain, or you didn't say the words molested. You didn't talk about anything, and so it wasn't something I could say, but I was hoping she would see it. I so wanted to be rescued, and she would show me pictures of Mother Teresa. We'd watch films, and I would look at Mother Teresa, and I would just be like, I want to be her. I want to be a missionary. And I had all this passion inside of my heart, and I would just dream about being a missionary, and I would see Africa, and I would see those people, and me feeding them, and me speaking the words to thousands of people, and I would see myself preaching the gospel over crowds of people in the United States, and I was just seeing stuff, and so I didn't know what it was called as a seer as I do today. And I saw myself making a movie. I saw myself, and I actually did write books back then, but I just, you know, they're all torn up. I was doing that as a child. And I know it was God's way of showing me that was my future. As I look back, I see how he was preparing me for today. So when I wrote my story, a lot of people said, wow, you were really brave. And what the reviews have been, I got a review from Charles Eric Johnson. He is a screenplay writer who had an award-winning film, Hard Lessons, and he got the Christopher Award for that film. He read all three of my books. My second book he read twice. And then he started reading this book, and he called me and said he couldn't put it down. He said it was riveting. And he just said, Susan, you are the most fascinating woman I've ever met. And I was just shocked, because he's a screenplay writer, that he would say that to me. But it was honest and true and pure from his heart. And he says, I'll talk to you when I finish the book, because I can't put it down. And then I've met so many women who just said it really healed their heart, because I didn't leave too many details out. Of course, I didn't tell my whole story. I couldn't in one book. But I did leave a lot of details in there so that people would see what it was like to have a man abuse you. Mm-hmm. But as I was a teenager, I was supposed to marry a man at 16 years old that my father had actually picked out for me. And he was also Turkish and Muslim. And he was living in Istanbul, Turkey. And so my whole life I was scared to death that I would marry someone like that and like my father, because my father also abused my mom when he would get drunk, he would hit her, and it was very scary. My father spoke Turkish, and it was very loud and deliberate, and our household was very neurotic and not quiet. So when I would go in my room, I would be there in the quiet. And so I didn't have a relationship with my earthly father that I could sit down and say, Dad, this is what's happening, because I was afraid of him. So I did have God, and I would pour my heart out to God, and I would sob and cry and tell God what's happening. And, of course, God saw it. But I didn't know the Bible like I did, you know, as I got older, because in the Catholic Church, they didn't show me how to have the whole armor of God on. They didn't tell me how to have the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. And so I stumbled and fell a lot. And so in this book that I write, I put one of my favorite scriptures in the beginning, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And in the Message version, it says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And so the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation so puts me in a place where I can love the unlovable, because I know what it was like to feel unlovable, and so much so that as an emergency room nurse in 2010, after I wrote the book, The Anointing of Mercy, From the Heart of a Parish Nurse, I was given the award. Out of all the employees at Providence Holy Cross Hospital, I was given the award for compassion, and not even realizing that people were looking at me as an example. I always felt that they were laughing because they would see me praying for a patient or holding the most unlikely person, a homeless with lice and festered sores, and seeing me hug someone. I had no idea that God was going to give me that award on earth, an earthly award, for doing his work. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that I was called to stand, and the things that I went through in life make me who I am today. Because if you get kicked around enough and you stand up and you ask God for that armor, he'll give it to you, and then you will become an armor bearer for the world in his stead. And so I stand today with my Heavenly Father because I took a journey to his palace and I saw what he has waiting for me. And I don't know what everybody's report card looks like, but I had a lot of F's, and I decided, God, I want a crown with jewels in it when I come before you. I want that. And so I decided to become what he wanted me to be. And so God said, tell the world, Susie, what I did for you. And so I tell people in my book everything that happened bad, but there's a lot of good. I went off a 300-plus foot cliff in the middle of a blizzard with my two children with me. They were 2 and 3 years old, and we go down the cliff, and God saves us. And so I share with people how it happened. I give pictures and show when it happened. And then there's bad things, like when I got my head split open, and I was buried in the dirt, and then unburied, taken to an emergency room, and the doctor asking my husband what happened to her, and he says, she fell down the cliff. There were times like that. And so I know what it's like. So being the hand holder to a victim of domestic violence, it's my pleasure because that's what God asked me to do. Mm-hmm. And what better person to have be there than one who's gone through it. And so deciding to write my book, I decided to give the 50% of the proceeds to Safe Passage. And so this past October 7th, and Maria, you were there with me, I dedicated the proceeds of the book to Safe Passage. And so people can actually get the book on, the link's going to be on Safe Passage shortly for the book. And then they can also go on the website, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Zulon Press. They can find it on Google and read about a story that will lead them to God, because I do not leave Scripture out. I don't believe that I would be alive without God. I'm living, breathing. I'm a miracle. I'm humble to say without God in my life, I would be nothing. And, you know, my story is not good. I had four broken marriages. I had seven children. Two of them are in heaven. Right now I have six grandchildren and two more on the way. I'm learning how to dance with God and listen to his lead, and I'm learning how to get out of my own way, because I have not perfected this journey, but I'm certainly willing to share my triumphs and trials, my ups and downs. There was a time in Iowa where I went to the prison and spoke to a Young Rivers group of men. And my talk was called What Happened to the Boy Next Door. And God was allowing me to speak to the beast, the face of the beast, the same stuff that they did. And I was able to speak to those men and share with them what it was like on my side. And they were all in tears. They all wrote me thanking me. But I led them to deliverance by having them, even if the person doesn't forgive them, that they would ask for forgiveness and learn how to forgive themselves so that they could be free. And so it was a journey that I just was in love with. And then I came back to California in 2002 and moved to Los Angeles in 2004. I remarry again because I just keep trying to get it right. And I, you know, got tricked again. But it was at the end of my book, and it sat from last November to February when I was in the book for Safe Passage. It was called A Day in My Shoes, L.A., Take
yes.
3. And I sat there watching the clip on the news. I think it was Channel 2 or Channel 12. Where they were interviewing Amy Martin Friedman, who had taken my photo and put it in the book, and she was with Trish. They were being interviewed on the news, and they had put my photo up on the news, and I was sitting there, and I just started to cry, and I said, oh, God, I'm still hiding behind the broken relationship right now, and there's my picture, and it just hit me that I needed to get out of the relationship I was in. And that I knew better than to stay where I was at. And so I just really moved ahead, and I finished the end of the book, and I filed for divorce. And believe me, all hell broke loose. And I said, really, God, am I going to do this again? And I stood my ground, and I'm still standing. I'm still not divorced. It's ugly. But I still finished the book, and this is just a beautiful testimony of how you can triumph in the worst of times, because when you read the end of the book and what I was going through when I finished this, you'll see just how strong you become when you have God inside of you and all the heavens and the angels fighting for you. And you'll see why I filed a lawsuit against the devil.
The great thing is I've been able to watch you. I've witnessed for our audience. First, I want to also say thank you so much for being such a blessing for our Sunday shows. because I've come to you for accountability to make sure that we're going in the right path as far as everything that we're preaching and everything that we're not, and that's really important. But it's amazing to watch over the past, what now, 12, 13, 14, 15 months, because when did you finish the book?
I finished the book in August.
Okay, so I've kind of witnessed everything that you've been going through, and I'm just in awe sitting here watching. And it's so many people have asked me to write a book, and it's like, nope, I'm here to elevate and empower other people. And it's funny, as I'm sitting here listening to you, because you know Rebecca, who's one of our sponsors, and Rebecca, and you know Magdalena, who is also a host and who is the vice president of Four Ministries. We all three of us, have the same kind of story that you have, which is we all grew up Catholic, okay, and we all wanted to be nuns. Is that the crazy thing?
Yes.
And we all wanted to be nuns. Rebecca went to Liberty University, so she has such a ministry and testimony and background. And Magdalena, as you know, she is our main disciple leader, and she truly has a gift. So I want you, if you have a Bible in front of you, I want you to open it up, and I want you to read Hebrews 12:22. If you don't, we'll pull it up on the internet. And I want
you to
read it.
I'll grab it.
Okay?
Because
this truly, truly is, I don't believe in any coincidences, as you know. And we're all getting ready to, as 2013 comes into play, we're all getting ready to really start talking about things that we have been prepared to talk about. So I want you to read Hebrews 12:22, because that truly is the foundation of what Soul Sister Radio is based on, truly on the Sunday show in particular, because that's more of our church show. But now that our venues are opening up to, you know, everything, we're going to do whatever we want, whenever we want, because I can. Okay? So I want you to read Hebrews 12:22.
But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels.
Mm-hmm. Who come in joyful assembly is the where my translation shares.
Yeah, general assembly in the next verse I have.
Yeah, that we come in joyful assembly, and that's truly, I want you to be able to take your thought, your dream, because your testimony, my testimony, Magdalena's testimony, Rebecca's testimony, Becky up in Washington, who does our praise and worship on Sundays, and Becky in Atlanta. Isn't it funny that God blessed me with four Rebeccas and a Magdalena? Okay. Okay. I mean, really, Susie, you have to stop and look at it. It's Maria Magdalena, four Rebeccas, a Susie, and we all wanted to grow up, become nuns, and I think the only one who's married, well, Becky and Rebecca are the only two that are married. All of us are single. So, and we're all really focused. So I want you to be able to take this platform, because it really, the next song I'm going to play is Becky's opening to her song on Sunday mornings. And this is what I'm feeling, because you truly are a soul sister, and the tools that you have, that God has given you and that has told you, if they have an ear, let them hear. I know that the time for us to do it is now. And I'm going to share a little bit more about why that's even more important as we move forward with Soul Sister Radio and what we've started under this platform, because being free is really important right now, especially when we want to talk about whatever we want to talk about when it comes to the Bible, especially the book of Revelations. So I'm going to play the next song because, my friend, the shackles are off and you are ready. And when we come back, the shackles are off. You are ready. And I am excited to be able to launch your show as it's created, as we're birthing it and trying to figure out what we're going to make it out to be. I'm blessed to be able to produce it for you. Rebecca is blessed to be able to sponsor it. We also have B&B Builders, who is doing everything in his power to make sure that we can continue doing this so we can produce shows like yours. So we just want to send out special blessings for them, and Spa Gems, our wonderful sponsor. But when we come back, I want you to share with our audience a little bit of why it is that you think God has given you the passion to really take this to the next level. Because one of the things that Rebecca says is, you know, we come into this life with nothing and we leave with nothing but the legacy we leave behind. So I want you to share with our audience what you believe your legacy is, especially to your grandchildren. And we will come right back after we listen to a station identification and take these shackles off, and we will be right back.
Absolutely.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Break free, 'cause you see I have been down.
Soul Sister Radio.
And we are back. You know, Susie, my dear friend, the shackles are off. So please, my dear, I want you to share with the audience what you think your biggest legacy you are going to leave behind, especially for your grandchildren.
You know, in thinking about you asking me that question, I believe that, and to do that honor, I'll read what I wrote. Because I wrote a dedication in the book to my children. I write, "This book is a dedication to my children. Though you may not all understand what you're about to read here at this moment, here on these pages, most of all I want you to know I love you all except you. I am proud to say I'm your mother. I wanted all of you, and I am responsible to God for your lives. All that has happened because of my actions, thoughts, words, spoken or never said. I am thankful to God Almighty for giving me the courage to write this book with all honesty and humility and all of my human fleshly put aside. It takes guts to bear it all, and because of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, God wins the battle I tried so hard to fight for myself and you. So today we are on heaven's team and heaven bound. I ask for forgiveness to the things you don't understand and as a child may have hurt you during your growing up years and any stumbling block I put in your way, or if it had been because of me and my actions or the choices I made throughout your lives with me. My hope in writing this is to clarify any misunderstandings and release you from all the curses from my past, your father's past, and any generations before we were born, any future generations until the return of Christ gathers us together. Those born and not born, I will list in the order of natural birth: Tamara, born 1977, Brandon, born 1978, David, due to be born 1982, Aaron, born 1984, Rachel, due to be born July of 1986, Ethan, born 1988, and Lane, born 1990. This book is dedicated to my family who stood with me, not understanding the secrets I was forced to keep. I lived with burdens. I bore shame and pain. I suffered as a result of not knowing how to communicate and navigate in our home. I write to the future generations that will be free from pain as God commissioned me and kept me alive to write my story. I dedicate this book to women all over the world who share similar experiences and to the exceptional woman, Trish Steele, whose courage led her to start Women Crowned in Glory, VBA Safe Passage. So half of the proceeds from the sales of this book will go to fight domestic violence and sexual abuse against women and children. And so in writing that, I felt that I needed to let my children know, because they were going to read this book someday, that they would understand me and why it was so painful for them and why it was painful for me and how I didn't know how to get out. But how I did reach out to God, and it would show them how I fought that spiritual battle that we can't see with the naked eye, although sometimes I could see the demon in my husband's eyes. So it would teach them how to fight, and most of all, they could see how to forgive me, because
exactly.
I need them to forgive me for what they didn't have any control over, because they were just born to me, and they didn't deserve what they had to see. And so I needed them to know that I understood their pain, and I was sorry for that. So at the end of the book, I write Psalms 119, 105 through 112, and it's the Message version. It says, "By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back. From lifting your righteous order, everything falling apart on me, God, put me together again with your word. Festoon me with your finest sayings, God. Teach me your holy rules. My life is as it clothes in my own hands, but I don't forget what has been revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherited your book on living. It's mine forever. What a gift, and how happy it makes me. I concentrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have, and I always will. And so I end a couple pages with that because I want people to know that this life is hard for all of us. And if we didn't have God, yeah, I would just check out early. But because I have God and I have the angels to help me fight this battle, I'm here for the duration, and I'm committed to, praying with other women to help them be free from it.
I'm getting really excited because I kind of have a feeling which direction that we're going to go in with your show. And so we've got about 2 minutes left. I want you to share with the audience where they can find you. And then I kind of have a feeling that I would love to find somebody who has read your book, and we're going to interview them on a segment of your first show. How does that sound?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
yes.
There's several people. Yeah.
Good. Why don't we get two or three, and why don't we figure out that we will set a time. Again, most of our listeners are going to be hearing this on the archive, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our archive. I know that God just keeps saying, if you build it, they will come. And there's so much, and I know because you know Rebecca, there's so much that you don't know that we're going to be doing with Soul Sister Radio and our guardians that are helping us to achieve these goals. And I kind of have a feeling that God has placed you right where you're supposed to be, because all I keep hearing is, if they have an ear, let them hear. So please tell our audience where they can get a hold of you, and then we will share a little bit about what we're going to do with your next show coming up.
Absolutely. You can get a hold of me at safepassagelives.org. You can log on to the website. You can leave a message by calling Safe Passage directly. You can get a hold of me through www.christianreading.com, and it's an author's website, Susan E. Sengezer, S-E-N-G-E-Z-E-R. You can get the books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. They're out on Google and Zulon Press. And that is xulonbooks.com. Of course, you can also get a book from me at the February event for Safe Passage. It's the day before the Oscars at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. I believe it's the 23rd of February. We have an afternoon event at 2 o'clock. I'll be doing a book signing there. And by calling Safe Passage, you can request a signed book. I'll be happy to sign one and leave them one there for you. Just send a check to Safe Passage. Or log on to Blog Talk Radio and ask Maria.
And I can give you the information. All right. I am excited about your show. Why don't we go ahead and schedule it and make sure that we start promoting it? I'm really excited. I'm going to play a song that we end all the shows with. However, we're going to come back, Susie, if you want to come back with me, and we're going to talk about law enforcement, officer-involved domestic violence real quick on a segment
okay.
that I have that's going to go on to our archive in the recording. So thank you so much for joining us on Soul Sister Radio there in our chat room. And we will see you next week. And Susie, what's going to be the name of the show? We've got about 10 seconds. Do we even know yet?
Oh, geez. I have to think about that, Maria, because we have so many names we could name it.
All right, we're going to go
sweet
ahead.
Surprise. From the throne room.
Exactly. We're going to go ahead and listen to a song, and we'll be
right
back.
I think we'll call it The Advocate.
For radio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Hello, Soul Sister Radio listeners. This is Becky Ryan with Women on the Edge. And I'm live with Maria DiGiovanni. Yes.
Yeah, I pushed the button and it didn't play. So let me push it again. Let's see what happens.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. It's Becky. And I'm here with the lovely, awesome Maria DiGiovanni, and it's Women on the Edge. And we're into a fun December.
How
was your Thanksgiving?
First, I got to ask you, how are you doing? Because I know you're a little under the weather, and you've had a lot of people there, so you've got a lot on your plate. But I know, how's your health?
My health, I think, is really good. Maria's bringing this up because I've been getting my jaw fixed. Several years ago, I broke both my back upper jaws on both sides and my bottom jaw. And I ended up getting rid of a couple teeth, and then they went back on Tuesday to get rid of a few more so that we can heal the upper jaw. But what was actually, I think, maybe why I'm crashing so much is we had a wedding, 4 Marines, my daughter's 17th birthday, all last weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think it's more that.
Around Thanksgiving, and wow, yeah, that's a lot.
We actually didn't do much of a Thanksgiving. I don't know. It's probably one of the first times. We actually had the boys coming in from Maryland on Thursday.
Wow,
so
okay.
Depending on when they were going to be coming in, they drove the entire night, arrived like at 7 in the morning. They slept until 3. So we just got ready for the wedding and kept moving forward. The wedding was actually on Saturday, but we had a big Thanksgiving plan for Friday, and it was just wonderful.
Oh,
but a lot of no sleep. Now, how was yours? What did you do?
All good. We just started. The holidays have been great, but today we lost somebody. So why don't you share what Women on the Edge
is about?
Well,
I was going to go into that one in just a second.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Because we'll be talking about Nelson Mandela, and it's trending right now. I have yet to even find out when he had passed. I just know that the presidents have all talked about it, and I've watched a lot of the videos. So apparently it was probably early morning in South Africa on this Thursday, very early morning in South Africa. But I was going to go and tell you some other news that's trending. One, Amazon is going to be investing into money for the droids. Do you know what droids are?
Oh, you know what? I kind of saw that. What, they're gonna have these things hover over your house and drop stuff?
It'd be kind of cool.
Okay, is that weird?
I think it's a little bit better than knowing that somebody's, like, snooping through all your stuff there. Why don't we just use these droids for something better? I thought it's interesting. The technology is available, but how would they do it? And they'd also have to go and talk to
air traffic control. They'd have to be doing a whole bunch of stuff.
But, you know, when I was a kid, I figured we'd be in spaceships by now.
Well, isn't that funny? Because doesn't it remind you of meet George Jetson, daughter Judy, and these droids?
Yes. That would be awesome. I like this. You know, I don't have my own spaceship right now, but I could go with my packages delivered.
Yeah.
I also wanted to go and talk a little bit about spam emails. And because we're Women on the Edge, my background is technology, especially online, I thought I'd tell some people that are going to be getting a lot more spammy emails, and at the bottom it says unsubscribe. A lot of people will go to that button and click unsubscribe. But what you're actually doing, depending on who it is, if you're doing it with Macy's and some other well-known distributors of these emails, you're probably going to be unsubscribed. However, sometimes they're sending these emails out to find out that you're real and that you're actually opening them up. So by clicking unsubscribe, you just told them that you're a real person interested in the topic that was presented.
Okay.
And this is a high time for people to be buying items. So you might be seeing a plethora, and I'd question unsubscribing. It might be better to go in and just say it's spam than to question if you're going to just be getting more spam. Another thing is, as much as we believe Amazon and eBay are the best deals out there, they're not. It's been proven over and over the last couple weeks. The products were actually getting better prices from our retailers than eBay and Amazon. So, it depends on – pardon me?
I think that's really good because it brings us back to being face-to-face with some people. Okay.
Yeah. And that the retailers are going out there. Oklahoma has also said that you can now sell items below what you bought them for, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but it helps get people in the door to hopefully buy other items.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that affects Oklahoma by the end of the month. But when you're going out there and looking, use words for coupon. One of the biggest things in my background with e-commerce is that we can get somebody to a website through a promo and saying a promotion, and we'll put it on some website saying getting 50% off, use this coupon. We might send out a newsletter. However, the majority of the people will not use the coupon code. The majority do not. So when you hit a page and it says promo code, coupon code, please run, even if you haven't gotten a promo code during these tight times, go and open up another browser and search for it. Most of them are still found through Google and stuff. The other one is Alibaba, is a website that a lot of people enjoy, but it's in bulk, and it's something that we should have probably been promoting more in August. But look out there. Look for the deals, and it's the first time in many, many years that we can say, go back to your retailers, go back to your chains, and find out what prices you're getting. Because another thing is, we're finding that there was prices for used items more expensive than buying it brand new out of a retailer who would give you a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Right.
So, you know, be wise while you're shopping. And now we're going to get into, the Thanksgiving. Nelson Mandela. Back in July, he was put into the hospital just before his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought up about, he's in his 90s.
Yeah, 90%.
Yes. He's been an iconic figure here in the U.S. growing up and worldwide. Mm-hmm. We're having, it's trending all over, Yahoo News, Google Trends, The Guardian, the UK. This man has made an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw this, I was thinking back about how this revered statesman merged out of prison after 27 years.
to become the president of South Africa.
Right.
And he lived to 95. All of our others, like Gandhi, he was assassinated. Martin Luther King, he was assassinated. I'm trying to think of Jesus, he was assassinated. A lot of our leaders that have taken his path didn't get to live to 95, and he's very unique, and I don't think we'll ever see another person like him. I'm just hoping that we'll get other people like him. I was looking at some of the videos, and I'm amazed how he could draw in countless millions in remote South Africa, black and white videos during the 1960s, where they didn't have TV, marketing, radio.
Nope.
I don't know how these people would come out, but they'd be cheering as if it was a Beatles concert.
Yep.
Singing. They were electrified by his presence. He was a profound Christian. He was definitely a man who said, South Africa is a country of many races. And all I'm asking is that each and every person has political independence. Not freedoms, not anything else. I just want it that their vote counts.
Right.
He was able to unite black and white. And it's something that this world needs a lot more people to unite people.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't for socialism. He wasn't into communism. Let's take from the wealthy, give to the poor. He was giving everybody an opportunity to be what they can be. And that's very, very unique. He was very charismatic. He had $1 million smile even in his 90s.
Yeah, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
I also wanted to bring up his wife. He was married 3 times. I don't know much about his first 2 wives. I know that he has like 6 kids, and his kids are in his footsteps and helping with his organization. But his wife, Grasa Masha, is the first lady of 2 different countries.
Okay.
Her husband was the president of another African country, and I was trying to look to see if he died or they got divorced, but I wasn't able to. But I wanted to go in about this lady. This lady is out there as one of the top advocates for women and children.
Really?
Yes, and she's been doing this since 1997, and she is a British dame for her humanitarian works. And I was thinking maybe because of being under the Mandela umbrella, we focused more on him. But she's mm-hmm. been an advocate long before she even met Nelson Mandela. And for these two people to get together, I was just like, wow, what powerhouses.
Yeah, no kidding,
goes,
right?
Yes. And
How old was she when she married him?
She got married in 1998. The year before, the last year, he got divorced from his second wife during his presidency.
Okay.
And married during the last year of his presidency.
Okay.
So he was going through a lot.
Yeah. And how old was she? Do you know?
I do know that we can look at her wiki. She's definitely a younger female. I'm going over to it right now. It does not have it.
No? Okay.
No. It tells me when she's been in office.
When was she born?
That's what I'm looking for. 1945. She's 68.
Okay.
And she's Portuguese descent, which I thought that was interesting. So her name is spelled Grac with a unique character underneath the C-A.
How did they meet?
She has been all over from 1997. She was already in Britain and everything else. So I guess that they have been going for human rights.
Okay.
She's the first person in history to ever serve as First Lady of two countries. And I just thought,
that's weird. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a very powerful lady. She was there. She's been doing a lot of the reports on Nelson Mandela's health.
Okay.
And she's a beautiful lady. But I what a powerhouse behind her.
Oh,
international advocate. And I was thinking, after finding this out, I was like, wow, I want to find a way for us to get in touch with this lady.
Yeah, no kidding,
find out what
right?
she is doing. When it came back also to Nelson Mandela, I didn't know that he was of royalty. Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And his so hence the reason he was a very educated man.
Yeah.
And when he went in to the prison, he was able to read and he knew his rights. Speaking of rights, one right now, I have been looking because what's been trending is our TSA on Thanksgiving in Alabama. Do you know who the TSA is? The police for the airport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Birmingham, Alabama, over Thanksgiving weekend, anybody who had used a valet service to park their car to go fly home for Thanksgiving, car was searched.
Why?
Because TSA wants cars inspected. And
they can't just do that. That's against the law.
These people dropped their cars off, gave keys to the valet. TSA issued that all TSA ended up issuing to all the valets and to all the car parks that if you see anything in these cars, to go with the keys that they have, if they've given you keys, you have the right to go in there, look under the car hood, the trunk, within the car, but please don't look into the glove box. If you see anything suspicious, report it. And if you see something that might be wrong for the state, report that too.
Okay.
Don't
at they
the
do
end
that
of the day,
anyway? I mean, they can't go into the car, though. That's kind of crazy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, they went
day.
In the car.
Wow.
And TSA ended up denying it because in New York this summer, TSA did it to Rochester, New York. And the people were livid. They had some protests. The reporters came out. But TSA told these people back in late October, early November in Birmingham, we want all the cars searched. Anybody who gives you their keys, you search their cars.
Wow.
That's really going after our Fourth Amendment right. And this is not on the airport grounds. And they said they have the right, TSA has the right to go after anything that's in any distance because the reporters asked, how far away do you have to park for these illegal, warrantless searches done by people? And they said, at any distance, we feel, could jeopardize the airport. What could that mean? So TSA, and I don't know if you know this or not, TSA right now, for all of the people for TSA, has about 180 hours of specialty work to get them to know all the equipment. I was a beautician. We had to have 1,500.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I couldn't search anybody's body.
Yeah,
I couldn't take pictures of them in an x-ray machine. I couldn't go and dig through their purse. I couldn't retain them and detain them. And I couldn't press charges against them, nor have the ability to taser their butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yet TSA does. And
yeah,
only the people that are up there are going through a possible 180 hours. Now, all you need to be a TSA agent is a high school diploma or equivalent test. And the 180 hours is to get you on the main floor.
Wow.
So I was kind of surprised about this. We are having some states in San Francisco, after quite a few legal situations of searching people, detaining people, and causing harm to people, ended up hiring a private service. There is an initiative to get rid of TSA. TSA is untrained, but yet they have as much authority as a police officer.
Right, that's ridiculous.
And they're taking more rights.
Right.
I was floored. How could they go and do this? I'm driving my car up. Yes, here's valet service. Oh, here's my car keys. We've already know that the valet stations have been accused of stealing. There's been videotapes of the valets stealing from cars, driving cars. They're not under any of the same restrictions of like a drug or background check unless the valet service requests it. But it's not that it's required. And they're checking your cars. They're going into your glove boxes. I don't know. I really hope that some of the listeners will feel that this is a threat against their Fourth Amendment. Even if you drive up there, there's nothing wrong with your car. Nobody thought there was anything wrong with your car. They're going in there and searching it. I don't think I'd like that.
Right.
So hopefully by the end of Christmas, we'll end this and get our Fourth Amendment rights back and go after the people we worry about. And I don't know how many people like to give the valet the car that they have the bomb in. Possibly it's happened, but so far TSA has had, how many people have they stopped a potential bomber on since 2002?
Do we know?
Yes.
How many?
None. Not even one. Not one of those checks has done anything except give tickets.
Wow.
Thrown okay. items away, gotten people put on no-fly list, and cause havoc to the airport when they detain somebody longer than they should have. So then they have to get another flight.
Wow.
We don't have one. Is that a little disturbing?
It's
TSA agents we have?
Yep. It's very, very disturbing. But I think that whole thing is disturbing. So going in there where they get, the whole thing is disturbing to me. So anyway, whatever. You've got
45,000 people are on the U.S. payroll for doing these searches. They need a high school diploma. Greece students came over here and they went over to the Atlanta airport. And they could not believe we do not know our own amendments.
Yeah, we don't.
And they started videotaping it. They actually shut down the x-ray machine because it does violate. And they went through the officers and they started shaking and they showed their hands shaking while they're filming. And I would have quit when they kept going, put that camera down, what are you doing? And they said, we don't have to tell you who we are. Do you, are you detaining me? Are you doing this? No, they end up getting Atlanta police over and they said, they think they're better than an officer. And that was caught on tape. So I was just going, wow, thank you, Greek students, whoever you are. I don't have the original YouTube to give credit, but wow, they ended up shutting down the x-ray machine saying, do you know that every time they take an x-ray of your body, they have a picture of you? So the TSA does have a connection of who you look like, and it's put into the books.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go x-ray. And it's also been proven with the x-ray, it does not stop any guns, knives, and the x-ray hasn't done anything yet, except give us a higher chance of cancer.
Right.
And that's what those Greek kids told us. So thank you, Greek kids, and we do have a Greek audience here. So
yay!
I want to thank you and your education out there.
No kidding,
thank
right?
you for helping America know their rights.
Yeah, sad that we don't.
So,
really is.
You there? This month, yes, I am. this particular month is filled here with holidays, parties, and everything else, and Hanukkah has ended. A lot has been going on in Israel. I don't know. Yeah. Do you get beeped when you say those things?
Oh, sure. Beep. Hey, we got 4 minutes.
Well, 4 minutes. Okay. Well, next week, I'm hoping to bring in, we have two people that we're going back and forth, but one is on lupus, and she's been doing a profound impact on getting the medical community to learn more about lupus, which is affecting more and more people. And right now, part of her passion is that the doctors only get an hour in their entire medical studies to find out about lupus. And the average lupus person that's now diagnosed took 6 to 12 years before she could get or he could get medication. And I was hoping to get her in. And then I know in May we're going to be doing a lupus month, but she had been putting out some news out there, and we have some people with this Obamacare that are going to be in jeopardy of having to pay the $2,000 penalty in January and not get treatment because it's too expensive for them before the doctor's fees are covered. And some of the lupus patients that are out there, their doctors have declined to go on to Obamacare. So I thought it might be very, very good to go into this and at least get an awareness, maybe get them some answers. Maybe our listeners can help them.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of that one, we're having a phenomenal week. For all of you guys that are out in the ice, I hope you're staying inside. They say millions are going to be impacted by this ice storm. Los Angeles is going to get some snow tonight, or has it already hit Los Angeles?
It's bone cold out there, okay? And really, we don't really get cold in California, as you know, you lived here. But sometimes we do get this bone cold, and there's no wind. So something's in the air.
Well, we have a nice storm that's going through Northern California all the way down to Los Angeles. And through our Midwest, we have an ice patch or a very, very cold jet stream. And weather is not my area. I have no idea. I go outside and I see how cold it is and I put a coat on. But they said that this is going to be impacting millions from Texas up to Chicago. And they are worried about their power being shut off. So I do send my prayers out to you guys. Los Angeles is not used to the cold, so I really send the prayers out to you guys. Chicago knows to put warm clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And the UK already has some deaths from some turbulent water. So I'm praying for anybody that's going through this cold December. And my prayers still go out to Nelson Mandela and his family and his legacy. And I pray for somebody else to even come in and take his shoes, some big shoes. But we need some more people like that.
Yeah, we do. Okay, you've got 45 seconds. So tell everybody where they can find you, and then we will see you next week.
We're going to see you next week. Again, my name is Becky Ryan, and you've been listening to Women on the Edge. And I'm here with my awesome producer, Maria DiGiovanni. And I'm sending out the prayers to all of my other ladies in earlier show. We need some people out there. Christmas times, that you start reaching out and talking to somebody else. Knock on your neighbor's door. Ask somebody if they need some help. You never know. So, again, see you next week. And my love to all of you.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.